Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
When we studied 1 and 2 Peter, you may recall in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we read this: "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Earlier this week, I got a telephone call from a good friend, and he said, "My nephew has just become a Christian, and I'd like to bring him by to meet you. Would that be okay?" I said, "Sure, I'd love to meet him." So he brought him by, and when they got to the house, we greeted each other, and the nephew said, "Yes, I've just become a Christian. I've just been baptized, and I would love it if you could give me some advice about how to grow in my walk with God." That's a question I get asked from time to time, and I'm always delighted. It's sort of, where do I start? How do I get going? If you have given your life to Jesus, if you've asked him to save you, now what? I would submit to you that what we read from 1 Peter 2, 2 is the very best of counsel. God says it to us in his word about his word. He tells us that like newborn babes, we should desire pure spiritual milk. You don't want to get the wrong stuff. You want to get the good stuff. And you want to get the basics. Later on, you're going to get meat. Starting out, you want to get milk. Where do I find that? I would submit to you that the first book of the Bible you ought to study as a new believer, or as a person who perhaps hasn't even decided yet whether or not you're convinced that it's true, is the Gospel of John. The reason for that is because John tells us in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, Jesus did many other miracles besides those that are recorded in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing, you may have life in his name. That's what it's all about. The whole Gospel of John is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that you can know who Jesus is, and not just who he is, but then know him. So that you can know him, that believing, you might have life in his name. As he says at the beginning of his gospel, when Jesus came, there were many who rejected him. He came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Now, that brings us to the most important thing you need to remember as you're doing your Bible study. And by the way, I'm talking about you doing your Bible study. I'm not talking about your coming here, listening to me, give you the fruits of my Bible study, all right? This is a good time of worship and teaching together. It's wonderful that we can do this. But let me tell you, you have to learn to spend time in God's Word yourself. You need that. One of my greatest joys in all the years that I've been here was the group of gals who lived at Pleasant Hill who used to get up earlier than their house parents each morning and go down to the living room and just sit there, not talking together, but just sitting there as an accountability thing, studying their Bible together. Wow, what a wonderful idea. But let me tell you something. You need to spend time alone with God. And here's the wonderful thing. You're spending time alone with God. It's not just time alone. Spending time alone with God. I like to spend time alone with my wife. Okay? Because I love my wife. So when the two of us can be alone together, Say, well, that's like a contradiction. No, it means that we're shutting everybody else out. It's just the two of us. And you need to have time that's just you and God. So, when you meet with him, I want you to understand something. He's the author of this book. He's the author of this book. Imagine if you had the opportunity to study Shakespeare with Shakespeare. Okay? Not some Shakespearean scholar. Yes, I actually have two PhDs on Shakespeare. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the author, the one who wrote it. Wouldn't that be cool? I meet with God every day. He created the universe, and he's my dad. We had breakfast together this morning, and I was talking to him before breakfast. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand? I mean, we're talking about the creator of all things. He's not just in government. He's not just involved in running stuff. He created it all. He created it all. He's in control. And so when I meet with him, it's really great. And I value that time alone with him. Now here's the thing. When I'm trying to understand this book, there's some stuff that I run into that's like, okay, I'm not sure I get that. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I don't get that. So I ask the author. I say, here's what I pray before I study God's word every time. Help me to understand what you want me to see. I'm 62 next month. I'm still learning stuff. I'm still seeing things I never saw that before. Wow. I've read that dozens of times, but I've never seen it before. How did I miss that? It's just right there. Good grief. I just went right over it. But now God's caused that to jump off the page. Let me tell you, you're not supposed to learn it all. And by the time you graduate from St. Andrew's School, we want to be sure that you know everything. Of course not. But we do want you to know how to study. And we do want you to value learning. And we do want you to know the author of this book. That's our prayer for you, is that you would know him and trust him and love him and serve him. Because once you start on that journey, it'll last you forever. Forever. So, meet with the author. That's the most important thing. When you go to study the Bible, if you just go to study it on your own, I'm going to get 5 or 6 commentaries. There's some very good books out there and some study Bibles. And all. Well, that's great. Fine. Wonderful. But meet with the author. Meet with the author. Well, can you recommend some good books to read? Yes, I can. The Bible. Now, there are other good books. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to understand the essential thing that God will use to grow you up with regard to salvation is the Word of God. You can know all kinds of stuff about the Bible. If you don't know the author, you've missed the whole point. Everything in Scripture is pointing to Jesus. If you miss that, you're not studying it correctly. In that regard, when you meet with him, the idea is not, I want to get this done for me today. The idea is, Lord, I'm here to meet with you, and through your word, I want to hear your voice. I want you to teach and instruct me and show me what you want for me to do today. In other words, let God set the agenda. The way I describe this over and over with people is every day you need to write God a blank check. Every day. You need to write God a blank check. Now, what does that mean? Some of you have checkbooks. Some of you don't even know what that is. You've maybe heard the term, but it's like, what? A checkbook? What's a check? A check's like a mark like that, right? No, when we talk about a check in this context, we're talking about a piece of paper where you sign your name. And when you sign your name, you're giving authority for whatever amount that you've written up here to be given to whoever's name is filled in here. If you fill in the name but not the amount, that person could go to the bank and drain your account. Okay? Because what you did was you gave them a blank check. Now, if you fill in the amount but not the name, then any person could go to the bank and get the amount that you filled in. Normally, when you're writing a check, you fill in the name. This is who this check is for. And you fill in the amount. This is how much money I'm paying them. With God, I want you to fill in the check to him. But I want you to leave the amount blank. Because what you're saying is, everything in my account, all my time, all my talents, all my energies, all my relationships, everything I possess, it's all his. It's all his. I'm giving it all to him. And so you go to God day after day and you say, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I am yours. You can send me around the world. You can ask me to do something that I did not have on my list for today. Whatever it is, Lord, I am yours. Write God a blank check. Now, here's why that's important. Well, there are many reasons it's important, but let me give you one of them. James chapter 1 tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously. When it says all men there, it's men and women. God gives wisdom generously to all who ask of him if they ask in faith, not doubting. Because a double-minded man shouldn't expect anything. Well, what is a double-minded man? That, unfortunately, is many, many people. They want God to tell them what to do, not so that they can do it, but so that they can decide if they want to do it. Okay? The uncle of the young man who had asked me, where do I get started? What do I need to do? Happens to be, literally, a computer expert of international caliber. I mean, he is a hugely successful expert in the field of computers. So I said, if I came to your uncle and I said, hey, I'm having some trouble with my computer. I was wondering if you could tell me what I need to do. And your uncle said, well, here's what's going on. Here's what you need to do. And I said, huh, well, that's interesting. Okay, well, I'll think about that. Bad move, okay? Because what I'm doing is I'm asking somebody who knows 100,000 times more about computers than I do for his advice, and then I'm going to make up my mind with my little puny, minuscule, non-existent almost knowledge about computers. Instead of just doing what the man says. He's the expert. I've got a problem. I come to him. I say, what should I do? He says, do this. I say, well, I'll think about it. No. If I've got a problem with computers and I go to him and I say, what should I do? And he says, do this. I'm going to do it. Because I'm not an arrogant idiot sometimes. But when we come to God, what do we say? God, I really want to know what your will is. What do you say I should do? And God says, this is your problem. This is what you need to do. And we say, ooh, that would be hard. Oh, really? I don't know if I want to do that. That would be difficult. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. That would be embarrassing. That would be scary. That would be whatever. What we're saying is, God, I want your input, but I don't want you to be my Lord. I want you to tell me what to do so that I can weigh it as one of my options. That's a double-minded man. And the Bible says a person who takes that approach in his dealings with God should not expect to get anything. Because God would actually be increasing our condemnation if he keeps giving us counsel and we keep rejecting it. And so God, in his mercy, will actually just stop talking and say, And that's really scary. But there are a lot of people there. Write God a blank check every day. Every day, meet with him and say, Lord, I'm yours. You created me. You redeemed me. You're my Lord and Savior. I want to do your will. Just show me what you want me to do. I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm not giving God two or three options and saying, now, God, I'm going to let you choose. My niece, who's now a medical doctor, did that to me when she was a preschooler. She said, Uncle Jim, I want to draw you a picture. I have my crayons here. You choose what color I should start with. And I said, okay, this one. And she said, no, not that one. And I said, okay, this one. And she said, no, not that one. And I said, okay, this one. And she said, no, not that one. And I said, well, honey, what color would you like to start with? And she said, no, you choose. That's what we do with God. God, have your way. What do you want? I'll do it. No, not that. Come on. Keep making suggestions. You'll get to something that I'm willing to do. I mean, that's the way we approach God. Okay, that's cute in a preschooler. It's disgusting in an adult. So, come to God and write him a blank check. Then, start in John. We told you why. After the book of John, I would suggest as your second book, go to Genesis.
Genesis, really? The Old Testament?
Yes. Because the book of Genesis is foundational to everything else in Scripture.
So that's really heavy stuff. I mean, you know, Genesis.
You thought John wasn't heavy? Interestingly, both books begin with the words in the beginning. Okay? That's where you ought to start. Start in the beginning. Start in first gear. Okay? So begin with John. After you've read John's gospel prayerfully, asking God to show you what you need to know, not thinking you're going to get it all the first time, and if there's anything I don't understand here, I can't move on. Oh, you better move on. Okay? Do John's gospel, then go back and read the book of Genesis. Genesis is foundational to all of Scripture. It's foundational to all of life. Then I would go back to the New Testament and I would study the gospel of Mark. The reason I want you to study the Gospel of Mark is because Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. It doesn't tell about Jesus' birth. It starts with the beginning of his ministry, and it moves all the way through breathlessly. It's sort of a high-speed tour. It's like Mark, even though he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and every bit of it is absolutely perfect, it's like he had ADD, okay? Actually, ADHD. He is totally, like, let's go. He uses the word immediately over and over. And then this happened. And then this happened. And immediately after that, this happened. And then this happened. And it's like he's taking you through and he's saying, I want you to know what happened. See, it was like this first. And then we were like, wow. And then this happened. And we were like, wow. And then this happened. And we were like, oh, that blows my mind. He says, yeah, but then this happened. And he takes you all the way through the gospel. And so you get this high-speed, exciting glimpse into Jesus' life. And the result is, you've already studied the gospel of John. You've already gotten Genesis, and you see that that's the fulfillment in Jesus. Now you're going back, and you're looking at some of the things Jesus did. Boom, 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 boom. Things Jesus did and said. And it's like, wow, it's really all about Jesus, and it's all about the cross. And then I'm going to blow your minds with this. What do you got John, you got Genesis, back to the New Testament, we got Mark. What do we do now? Old Testament? No, I would say go to Romans.
Really?
Yeah. Now, Pastor Wood, Romans is really like heavy-duty theology. I mean, there are lots of people who struggle with Romans. Oh, believe me, I know. It's all good. This is not law. It's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't study that other book. Pastor Wood says I got to get through Romans first. No, this is my suggestion to you. But I've been around a while. I've helped a number of people shift gears. You can go from second to fourth. It's just not smooth. Okay? I'm suggesting you go from first to second to third to fourth. And in the book of Romans, you're going to find the plan of salvation, the heart of theology laid out point by point by point in the form of a logical argument written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is powerful. It is great stuff. But it is really heavy. It is really deep. And there's definitely going to be some stuff that's going to cause you to say, I don't get that. Now, when that happens, I want you to remember what we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which the unstable twist and distort to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures. Peter recognizes Paul's writings as scripture, as the word of God, but he says, there are some things that he says is really good, but there are some things in there that are hard to understand. And I want you to understand that if Peter found it hard to understand, it's okay if you do too. Okay? Just pray before you read and say, Father, show me what you want me to see today. Teach me what I need to know. And he will do it. After that, ask the author what he wants you to read next. You might go back and read John again. You might go back and read Genesis again. You might start reading Psalms. You might find you want to read more than one book at a time. You might even start reading some other books that aren't in the Bible. Authors like A.W. Tozer, who's enriched the lives of so many people. C.S. Lewis, who has enriched the lives of so many people. John Piper, who has enriched the lives of so many people. I even like my books. Sure, read some of my stuff. It's all good. But don't forget to read whatever you read, looking at the scriptures and saying, is this guy right? Because scripture is perfect and absolutely without error. The rest of us see as in a glass darkly. Okay? So, I recommend the publications put out by Navigators Press. Nav Press, generally speaking, puts out excellent stuff, much of it designed to help you grow and develop a consistent walk with God. I use their discipleship journal plan for reading the Bible through each year. Okay? I commend that to you. But be like the Bereans. In Acts 17:11, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You get that? The Bereans are known for having examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's really good, but don't miss the first phrase. They received the word with eagerness. They were eager to learn. They wanted to know more. And so when they were taught, they were like, okay, got that. But then they took it home. They didn't just walk out saying, wow, that was great, that was cool. They then went and spent time on their own, alone with God, studying the scriptures and comparing it to what the preacher had said. That's what you need to do. You need to do that with what I say. I make mistakes. God doesn't. And he will meet with you if you want to know him more. So, ask the author to show you what he wants you to know. And then do what he says.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.